Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Houston, we were at joint practice this morning, and we've been talking a lot about the offensive line, and that's where we're at right now. The first play of the scrimmage, what I can tell you, Clint, is that I saw Matt Khalil get backed up and his back bowed a little bit. But there were a lot more plays other than that one, and I know that you and Seth Payne, who we talked with after practice, came away, I don't want to put words in your mouth, kind of sort of encouraged about Matt Khalil?
I mean, I don't know. Encouraged is probably it's a pretty strong word. Here's the deal is that I'm more concerned than I was before the Green Bay joint practices. And I believe that anybody with any kind of football IQ, any kind of football sense, and is watching practice would feel that same way. Now, on the flip side, I still believe it's an upgrade. I believe that the tackles in training camp and in team situations are set up to fail. And in no way, shape, or form, let me reiterate, I am concerned. I'm more concerned than I was a week ago. But when you're constantly calling plays without any influence, without the thought of chipping or putting a running back to that side or a tight end to that side to slow down the rush, without calling plays with an emphasis of that, then you're really, really exposing your tackles. And so I believe that they go into camp and it's good work because you want these guys to feel like they're fighting for their job. You want these guys to understand how important it is that they get better. I just believe if you were playing a game tomorrow, I believe there'd be more tight ends involved, two tight ends. There'd be more backs. If they were very rarely would they expose either one of the tackles. And so the planning and the play calling changes that dynamic significantly. So I'm concerned about the player in himself. I'm concerned about Khalil not being anywhere close to the left tackle that he once was. But I'm not ready to pull the trigger, and I'm concerned at the other tackle, whether that's Henderson. I think Davenport's been over there a little bit. I think
it's been mostly Henderson with the ones.
Sharping's bounced around at tackle, and Johnson is getting some clock at tackle. I think they're getting a good look at him. So I mean, you're getting different looks, and I just think those guys would be protected. They would have a lot better chance of being successful when you get into a real game and the game plan is designed around helping your tackles. You'd rather not have to do that. Obviously, you'd rather take the handcuffs off and not have to do that. But if you do, it changes the game for those guys.
And you're talking about tackle protection in terms of not leaving a tackle alone on an island against one of the great pass rushers in the league. You're talking about giving him help. You're talking about adding a double teamer from the edge, which is not an advantageous way to go into a football game. We saw 4 wide, 1 back. We saw 5 wide, no back against the Green Bay Packers. Correct me if I'm wrong, but all of those pages in the playbook can be ripped up and thrown in the garbage if you have to protect both tackles. Then what are we talking about? Two dudes run a route?
It's not necessarily about a guy staying in. You said 5 wides. We hadn't seen any 5 wides. You mean empty backfield, right? Because it was there was 2 tight ends and a back on the field. They just went empty backfield.
5 receivers in the play. I say 5 wide. I just mean, you know, you got 5 guys.
I know what you mean. I'm just clarifying it. Yeah. Like there's so when you do that, even if you're going empty backfield, if you put whoever the nearest, I don't even care if it's Hopkins, if you cut Hopkins splits and you put Gillespie outside of Hopkins, bring Hopkins in to where he's 1 yard off the ball, 1 yard outside the tackle. And now he's at least a threat to that defensive end that's coming off the ball. That guy has to at least be aware of him, right? Now, if it gets to a point where you have to put a tackle there and you have to double a defensive end and you have to put a running back or another tight end on the other side and double that defensive end, now you're really handcuffing the play caller. But if you have to do it, then you have to do it. That's part of why coaches get paid so much money. They got to figure out a way to do that and figure out a way to be creative with it. But the simple concern of a defensive end that's got his Trey Flowers, if he's up there today and he's got his hand in the dirt, okay, and there is a big-bodied receiver damn near head up on him because the defensive end would be outside the tackle. So if Hop is damn near head up with him by alignment, he's got to be aware that that receiver could punch him in the ribs on the way by, could stay in and double with that left tackle. He's got to be aware of it. When there's nobody there, when the nearest receiver's 10 yards wide and the back is offset the other direction, or maybe the back is out on the other side, he's lined up as a receiver on the other side, and there's nobody back there, that left tackle is on an island. There's 5, maybe 10 guys in this league that would be a smart decision for a play caller to do over and over and over again in a game. So
is Trent Williams one of those guys?
Yes, he's one of those guys. But he is a guy that I still would from time to time, I'd make sure that back released over there and just broke two ribs when he ran by whoever that defensive end was. I'd line up a tight end there and say, I want you to ear hole this defensive end immediately when the ball snapped, and just remind him and remind him that Trent, we'll help you a little bit if we can. We're not going to put you in an island for 4 quarters, but you just, it's more of a reminder. Whereas it may be this year that the Texans have to, it's a staple. We don't call a play unless there's a back to the left side, unless there's a receiver with a cut split, whether there's a tight end. By formation, we're going to this game, and we are maybe 5 times are we going to leave Matt Khalil exposed. And so with that said, it just changes the game dramatically compared to what we're watching on a daily basis. Again, I'm overly concerned about Matt Khalil. I don't want to sugarcoat that at all. I'm overly concerned about the left tackle with this football team. But there's ways to cover up tackles. And Bill O'Brien, that looks to be like Bill O'Brien needs to start putting an emphasis on that sooner rather than later. Because week 1, if Matt Khalil's your guy, you're going to need to do that.
That's Clint Sterner. I'm Rick Campbell. We're Clint and Campbell on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Talking, you guessed it, about the offensive line. More on Clowney. Will he be traded? Will he not be traded? Coming up later on in the show. A lot of people around town have not been impressed with Matt Khalil. Bill O'Brien earlier today said different things.
He's had a really good camp. You know, it's hard to judge in a practice setting. Sometimes, you know, you can't hit the quarterback. You know what I mean? So quarterback maybe holding the ball sometimes, try to get the guys open. So, you know, I think he's had a very consistent camp. He's a really good guy to coach, very smart player, good guy in the room. He's got everything you're looking for.
Now, I will say this. According to today, it was a very different Matt Khalil than what we've seen. He was much more aggressive. I caught him on a screen where he pulls and he blocks. It was an outside backer. It was more of a line, true stand-up linebacker. It was not a defensive end, but it was on a quick screen to Hop. He was kicking out whoever was in the slot. And he finished it in a very violent way, which to me, my question is, it was an obvious difference. But my question is, if you're a left tackle in the NFL, why do you not do that every time? Like, you should be striking fear in guys. Like, Detroit should leave and go, damn, you don't want to go joint practice versus the Texans because Matt Khalil will not quit, and he is violent when he pulls and when there's screen action and when it's draw action and pass protection. He's violent. He's nasty. He's dirty. If you're not that kind of offensive line, you're not just offensive lineman, you're not just going to turn it on Sunday.
The guys, is it because he's not really worried about the guy behind him taking his job?
No. I just don't think by nature, when I hear Matt Khalil talk, walk, I watch him work, I just don't think by nature he's a nasty SOB. I just don't believe that's the case. I remember when I was with the Cowboys, that my second year, they bring Eric Williams back. And Eric Williams, he was with Baltimore for a few years. Hell, he may have been with Baltimore when they won the Super Bowl. But he was with Baltimore after the Cowboys. He won the Super Bowl with one or two of the Super Bowls with the Cowboys, and then Baltimore, and then he came back. And he was old, but that dude was nasty. You did not want to practice against him. Even if you were a defensive end in a game, you might beat him because he's a little bit older, but you got the dog beat out of you for 4 quarters. He was nasty. It was physical. It was a tough-ass day if you were going against Eric Williams. And if offensive lineman either has that or he doesn't, I don't think you just go, oh, it's Sunday. Let me turn this dog on and let me beat the hell out of folks. I watched Larry Allen throw a defensive back in a shells damn near walkthrough. I watched him chest punch a defensive back, Dwayne Goodrich from Tennessee. He chest punched him, launched him out of bounds. And Valley Ranch used to have about 2 or 3 yards off the edge of the field where there was a slight incline where people could sit and watch practice. He literally chest punched this dude up onto that heel from damn near the numbers.
Did he land on people?
Yeah, no. Well, this was at Valley Ranch. There wasn't anybody there at the time. It was on the sideline. No, so it wasn't in camp. It was a game week, so we didn't have people there. But literally, I mean, just that kind of, like, you don't coach that. Like, if a guy pulls and he just kind of lollygags out there and then chest bumps the guy that he's supposed to get and he sits there and kind of just lollygags around and BS's with the guy until the play's over, like, that dude probably doesn't have a lot of dog in him. I never saw that from Larry Allen. I never saw that from Stepnoski. I never saw that from Eric Williams. Some of the younger dudes, some of the dudes that didn't get it, that were really good players, but just didn't ever, they hung on for 3 or 4 years, that minimum career in the NFL of 3.3 years or whatever it is. That's about how long they hung around. They looked good, looked like Tarzan, but when it came to a game, it was a little more like Jane. And it was because it was a mentality. It was that patty cake type mentality instead of a bad dude. And I saw more of that out of Matt Khalil today. I saw a little more aggressive, a little more violent finish today. And that's what you hope starts happening every day moving forward.
But guess what? It should not take noise from fans, complaining about his play. It should not take noise from Seth Payne and Clint Sterner. It should not take noise from his coaches. Like, who is he to think that he had a job sewn up and that he could just kind of show up and
trick? I heard
win
some
the job.
Audio. I heard some audio from him that was more along the lines of he's not thinking about overcompensating for an injury. Right now, this is the best he's felt in a long time, where he doesn't have to worry about an injury. He's going out there and playing. So you hope that's the result. Is I see a more violent finisher because he's not worried about, well, if I step here, it hurts my ankle or it hurts my knee or it hurts my back. He appears to be super healthy, and hopefully that's why a guy's turning up the volume at practice. That combined with a joint practice, I don't give a damn why. If it starts happening today and you see it every day at practice leading up to the season, then it's a guy getting ready for the season. If it's wishy-washy and it's a roller coaster ride and you don't know what guy you're going to get every day, then it becomes a problem. He just doesn't have it by nature.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.